perfect. Okay. Oh, it works tomorrow. Okay. Good evening. I want to welcome everyone to the second shiur in our Chinuch series. The title of tonight's shiur is The Proper Approach in Guiding a Child in Davening. It will be led by Rabbi Michal Garari of Sydney, Australia, who is a machanech of note. He also happens to be the father of our very own Mor Da'aser, Rabbi Moshe Garari. And he will speak with us. There'll be questions and answers. If you look around on the on the walls of the shul here, there's a link that you can click on to send questions.
It's case-sensitive.
That you can send questions directly to Rabbi Garari, so he can answer them. If necessary, you can bring them up. If that doesn't work, you can also bring them up here or pass them on, and we'll ask them over here. There's a Hayom Yom dated Chof Gimel Ir, in which the Rebbe writes that the beginning of decline in Avodas Hashem Rachmanu Litzlan is because of a lack in Avodah in Davening. Everything becomes cold, everything becomes dry, everything is rushed, even mitzvahs that are done out of rote, mitzvahs anoshim ilmud, become burdensome. There's no chayis in limud ha-Torah, and the actual air becomes coarse. That's what the Rebbe writes. Don't quote me exactly, but that's what the Rebbe writes in the Hayom Yom of Chof Gimel Ir. And I think it's important not to take the Hayom Yom out of its context. It wasn't written for children. It wasn't written for mechanchim per se. But I do think that there is an underlying truth in that pisgum that is applicable even to small children. If one looks at the woes and the troubles of the greater Frumma community today, you realize that many of the problems that we face are not standalone problems, they're symptoms. They're symptoms of a fundamental lack of Yir Shemayim, Ava Shemayim, Avas Hashem. And if you look at many of the kids, Rachmanu Litzlan, the Go OTD as they call it, many of them do not go because they're rebellious, they don't go because it's a response to some trauma that they live through. It's because they're apathetic. That's nice. I like my family. I like my kehillah. I like going to shul. I even like Shabbos. It doesn't mean anything. It has no meaning to me. It has no relevance. So the second it clashes with what I really want prevails. The secret killer today, everywhere internally, is apathy. I don't care. Why? Why should I do it? And if we can give our children, davening is a fundamental in Yiddishkeit. It's a yesoid de chinuch, because it provides, it's the conduit within which a person, and in our case a child, expresses their relationship to the Eibishter. And if we can give our children a davening that's real, that's meaningful, that's full of life, that's personal, it's my relationship with Eibishter, not the classes, not the kehillah, it's mine. That's the way I express anxiety. That's the way I go to express gratitude if I'm happy for something. Then everything else we as parents and as mechanchim do becomes more crystallized, becomes more meaningful, and becomes more impactful. So that's why it is so important, so vital and critical that we have this discussion when we speak about chinuch and how to deal with the challenges of today's chinuch. Davening is a key component in the chinuch of every single child, boy or girl. So I thank you all for coming out here tonight. I thank Rabbi Moshe Garari again for facilitating and arranging. I want to give a special thanks to Rabbi Rafal Heuzman for taking care of the whole technical end of this evening. And Bechalal, I want to thank him for always being an Ezer Vachisamuch for everything the Cheder does. Reish V'rishin L'chol Dover Shepikidusha, Shkoyach. And without further ado, I'd like to ask Rabbi Garari to please go ahead, and you'll let us know if you have difficulty getting the questions.
Okay, thank you so much. Before I start, can someone just tell me if you hear me clearly?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All good? Okay, because I don't see anyone. It's like, okay, if you hear me, it's good. If there's a problem, let me know. I see there's already some questions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to first share with you some thoughts and then go through the questions and deal with them one by one. Because it could be that when we share some ideas, maybe we'll answer some of the questions with the Rav Agav. So I'll do that first, and then we'll go to the questions. But I do encourage everyone, please, to put in questions, and let's deal with them as we go along. First of all, a big Yashar Koach, and it's great to be with you, at least this way. I was going to say good evening, although by me it's good morning. But I am looking very forward, because of Yemir Hashem, to be with you in person. Also to see the new shul and to spend time with you as I did in the past. But for now, this is the way we do it. So it's really a fantastic initiative that people are getting together with the Chinuch series, because as we know, that whenever people get together to discuss in Yonei Chinuch, it's always mechazik, it always strengthens each other, even if you don't learn anything. The Etzem Inyan, we get together and we discuss in Yonei Chinuch, Israeli gives tremendous chinuch, and it will come back whole differently. So tonight's topic is a difficult topic, a topic of davening. I say it's a difficult topic, and it's an important topic, as the MC said from Yom Yom. It's a yesoid in Yiddishkeit, it's a yesoid chassidus, and so on. But it's a difficult topic because, let's be honest, us adults find it difficult too, in different ways. We don't all find davening easy. Some of us find davening challenging. The Zohar at the Chizuk Shlas Sloisa Shas Krova, the time of davening, the time of struggle. Obviously, it means something deeper than that, but nevertheless, on a very basic level, you know, davening takes a lot of discipline. Davening, let's be honest, is not always, we don't always find it, I should say, the most kishmake avoide. The mind wanders. The commitment is hard. And it's different to learning, Lamashal. Learning, the difficulty is getting to the shir, you know, leaving the home to get a chavrusa, to go to a shir, b'chulu. But the truth is, once you get in it, it's kishmak. You understand something, but davening is different. Why do I say that? Because when it comes to children, therefore, where the Kabbalah soil is not so mature, it's not so developed, and discipline and self-control is a lot harder, it is no wonder that by children, davening can be something that's a lot more challenging. Therefore, parents struggle with it, and obviously have the question, schools struggle with it, parents struggle with it, and often we have the questions with those children in particular who find it a bit more challenging and resist sitting in shul and resist davening properly, etc. We have the question, how do I get my child to daven more seriously? How do I get my child to sit in shul b'chlal? So these are some of the questions. So hopefully what I want to try and do tonight is give some yesoidus and share with you some strategies, some ideas. And like every Indian chinuch, not every idea works for every person, for every parent, for every child, but this is holistic ideas that I've seen work. They worked for me, they worked for others. And ideas worth thinking about. If you tweak them a little bit to make sure it works for you properly, I tell you my name. But I want to just give a little bit of agadama before we start, a bit of introduction. But I'm really pleased that, and I'm sitting here in Sydney, but I follow what goes on there a lot, as you know. And I'm pleased that this discussion came after last week's from Rabbi Twersky, and I had the opportunity to listen to the recording. And I say that because everything we're going to say tonight only has a chance of working if it's meyused on basic parenting foundations, which were very much spoken about by Rabbi Twersky last night. It's a discussion in its own right, and I'm not going to go into great detail. But just to summarize and to touch on it for 1 second, because it's such an important thing, and that is, specific strategies, specific klolim in chinuch only work if there's a general yisod of good, to use the chassidus terminology, to good makif parenting. Makif parenting means that just in general, the home is a positive, healthy, happy, loving environment. And at the same time, a place where there's structure and there's boundaries. A place, a home, where there's a relationship between parents and children, which means that parents spend time with children. Not just instructing them or doing homework with them, but spending time with them. There's a home where parents express love, express warmth to children, where it's a home where people do things together, whether it's learning together, having fun together, whatever the case is. Or like Rabbi Twersky mentioned last week, the Shabbos table, where we're able to give attention to our kinderlach, we're able to listen to them, we're able to discuss interesting things with them. And in Yiddishkeit, just generally, not the halal, healthy, warm environment, and in Yiddishkeit, where there's an avir, where there's a discussion, where there's stories, where there's a vertach, where there's a culture of Yiras Shemayim and Frumkeit and seriousness in Yiddishkeit in a warm way, in a happy way, in a positive way, that's the yisod of all chinuch. Because that, there's sichas of the Rebbe that bring out this point very strongly, v'chulu, but the truth is that it's the most powerful inyan. It's more makiftik, it's more detached. We're not implementing specific things, but that is probably the most powerful thing in parenting, more than any specific strategy. But that's what makes a home and that's what makes a child. So therefore we need to, at Kamud Le'eshar, as much as possible, create a kind of environment. And again, I'm not going into details. I think we once did a whole talk on this over there. But that's it. There's thinking about and thinking and discussing of how we can get there and how we can actually implement that. Because then, but then whatever we do afterwards, whatever we talk about specifically on them, like governing the Hulu, it's much easier and it comes in that yisod because we already have a relationship, a healthy relationship with our children, and we have a positive environment and our children are much more positive, so therefore they're much more open to listen to what we have to say. It's a much bigger chance and a much better chance of getting through to them and trying to implement the things that we want to implement. Okay. So that's just Agadamuk Tzara. Let's talk specifically about davening. So I want to go through a number of nekudas. Essentially, I want to share with you five nekudas. The first thing is that davening is very different to other things. Because being serious in davening and davening properly is what we call in English a value. In other words, it's not a subject. It's not a maaseh b'poel. Taking davening seriously, to be long-term, means there has to be a certain mindset. In a child's mind, somehow, there has to be an understanding, whether consciously or subconsciously, whether b'seichel or just part of what he understands or picks up, or she picks up, is that it's an important inyan. For that to happen at any level, it needs a hakdama. Before we can talk about how we're going to get out child to daven. How are we going to get our daughter to daven on Sunday morning when there's no school? How are we going to get our son to sit in shul? Before we can talk about specific strategies, we need to make sure that in the home, that's a value that's discussed. In modern secular parenting material, they have a concept called voice to values, which means whenever you want to teach an inyan chosher, whether it's to be honest, whether it's to be nice, to be kind, it's not enough just to give that instruction when it happens. Right, when a child hurts a sibling, it's not enough just to all of a sudden talking, oh, it's also to hit someone, or it's important to be kind to someone, therefore you need to share your toys. We need to find times around the Shabbos table, or on walks, whatever the case is, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about the importance of davening. Davening needs to become a subject at home that we talk about. Right. In other words, we have to tell stories of chassidim that daven b'arichus, even though we're not at that level, but we have to tell stories about how seriously they took davening. I remember growing up, my Zayd is telling me stories. He was abductious about Reb Leif Shenin. He used to daven all day, and he used to cry during davening. I used to hear stories from my father about chassidim that daven, b'chulu, all these type of things, very, very important. We have to talk about sometimes, whenever, in a positive way, whenever smachza, whenever the opportunity arises, whether it's at a Shabbos table, about a shayla, halacha with davening, about minyanim, about halachas of davening, how serious davening is, about washing hands before davening, all these type of things. Informal communication about davening, just general, maybe when the opportunity comes up again, this not should be harsh, it'll just be more derech agav, but it needs to be spoken about with stories about not talking in davening, the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, where he talks about gewald, the only time that the Alter Rebbe uses two Yiddish words in Tanya, where he talks about the terrible thing about davening, about talking in davening, and so on, b'chulu. So these things have to be spoken about, not once, not twice, but often. If you know davening is the issue that you want to try and get through, it needs to be spoken about, and it needs to be spoken about with chayas, with passion, because a value, a perspective, a hashkofa is not picked up with a lecture. It's picked up by a child feeling, this is important, wow, my parents really take this seriously, they talk about it. Obviously, together with this means that a child, I'm stating the obvious, but the obvious needs to be stated. A child needs to see a dugma chaya, a child needs to see a parent that takes davening seriously. A child needs to take see a parent that goes to a minyan even when it's hard. And when it's a little bit hard and it's the end of the day, as zuchta minyan ma'ariv, he looks, where's the latest minyan? Where's the closest minyan for ma'ariv? Even though it's a little bit hard, it's initially pashit, it's a bit of a bother. But when Hashem sees that davening is important, davening with a minyan is important, a little bit zibur is important, he sees on the parents that it's taken seriously that they, when they daven in art, they daven one, even if daven in Harlem, daven in one place, they take it seriously with a siddur. All these things, it's part of the creating the avir, that this value, that this hashkafa of taking davening seriously is an important inyan. I want to connect it to something else. It's not just at the home. And I don't know about any other shuls there. I mean, the shul I visited there is very geshmaka davening. It's a good place, but I understand there's people from other places. But I do want to say that any parent who wants to instill in the child a serious hashkafa when it comes to davening needs to make sure that the child see that the shul that you go to has serious davening. That the shul that you go to has no talking in davening. People come on time more or less. People daven on one place. They're not walking around. There's not letzonos during davening. It has to be a serious culture of davening. And it's badukum menusa that makes, and from a very young age when children are exposed. I grew up in Johannesburg, South Africa. And there wasn't the Chabad community there much, but when I was a little bit of a, in the Shulchan Kevin, I was old already. Anyway, it grew as with the time. When I grew up with kids from Yekesh families. I don't have to tell you, Yekesh families, by them, davening was a minyan three times a day is an obvious thing. The shul was as full on a posh to milch as it was on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it always started on time. Those kids, it wasn't a question, b'chol. It wasn't like, it was never a question, b'chol, about davening. It was just a normal, natural thing. You have Cheerios for breakfast in the morning, you daven with minyan three times a day. It's exactly the same thing. Why? Because that was the shul, that was the culture, that was the avir. I used to daven there once in a while, it was incredible. I can't say it was a varim chassidish for davening, but it was unbelievable. So it needs, one of the part of the avir that you create about the seriousness of davening definitely has to be that you daven with your children in shuls which take it seriously. And if it's a problem, I've no other etzer other than to find a different shul. Or be mashpia on the shul that you are, that they should change the whole avir. But that's 100%. If the children are going to grow up in a shul with this, with a sefkeiris, that's the way they're going to take davening. So it's both at home and the shul. That's the first nakuda. The second nakuda, I want to address getting children to daven in a more specific way. So especially when it comes to boys, I would say migdoire doiris, the best way that the children learn how to daven is by sitting next to their fathers in shul. Girls, same thing, davening sitting next to their mothers in shul or sitting next to their mothers at home. Not all girls learn to daven in shul. Some girls learn to daven at home because the mother finds it difficult to go to shul. So they daven at home, they talk about it. The mother davens whatever she can, whatever she discussed with the rabbi, exactly what she needs to daven, depending on the stage of her life. Mechulu, but that's not the time to go into now, these halachas. And they see it seriously, and the girls see a dugma and they daven. And by the way, I shouldn't say this, I don't know, but I'm going to say it anyways. I really believe that the only way that a child ultimately will learn to daven is by sitting next to the parent in shul, especially boys. I'm not a very big chassid of youth minyanim when they're teenagers and all these kind of things. Children's minyanim is all very nice. It's a good babysitting system, and it's good b'shas ma'aseh. They're doing something positive, but I don't think it has a lasting effect, at least from what I've seen. There's only one way. Midoire doiris, this is the way. Children sit next to, I'm not sure it shouldn't be children's services or children's programs for kids who can't sit in shul or very young children, etc. And there can be a tamul, there can be a campaign in shul to reward children, we'll talk about that later, who daven nicely, but daven nicely next to their fathers. Now, how do you make that happen? So there are children who resist it a little bit, right? So here's some, this is mamash crucial what I'm about to share with you, at least from what I've seen. Please take this to heart. If there's nothing else, this is the crucial thing. First of all, it needs to be chanoich lanar al pi darkei. Every child needs a special program. Meaning not every child can daven the whole davening at different stages. Some children it needs to be much slower. So you need to understand, you need to try and work out yourself what is the child capable of. It's not clothing. But you need to start from a young age. You have to start introducing, when they're ready, you need to start introducing children to sitting in shul. Maybe for some, when they're very young, or 7 and 8, 9, whatever, maybe it's just coming into shul by Kedusha, staying a little bit for the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah, saying Shema, whatever. You have to negotiate with your child. The important thing is Don't start negotiating when you arrive at shul on Shabbos morning. This is a discussion that needs to take place at home. You need to sit down with your child. Now, Kabbalah's oil is an important thing. You need to, even if the child is finding it hard, you need to express to the child, I see you find it hard, but you know, davening is really important. So let's talk about how much you're going to daven on Shabbos, where, how much you're going to sit in shul, and it's not negotiable. We can negotiate it now. I'm part of the negotiating team, meaning I'm not going to do exactly what you say. I want to hear what you think. I'll say what I think. I'm going to come to a maskana. And remember, this is what we're going to be from now on, at least for the next few months. I'm going to call you into shul before Baruch Hu, and you're going to sit there at least till after Kedusha, and then you can go and play. Whatever your maskana is, and then you review it later in a few months, and then you keep upgrading it. Obviously, the goal is by the time, for all children, the goal should be that by the time the child is before Bar Mitzvah, they should be davening properly in shul. Hopefully, some children even before that, but if not, there's time. At least if you get to that goal. So that's when to be in shul. How much to daven? This, by the way, spills over to things at home. It could be to go share with girls. Girls daven at school during the week, but Moshel Sunday, a lot of them don't have school. I don't know what you do over there, but and it might be a mother negotiating with a daughter how much they're going to daven on Sunday morning. You know, maybe you don't daven the whole thing. You daven in school, but I need you to, you know, we need to say brachas, shmash, vanessa, whatever the case is. Right? You negotiate. By the way, this is not only with davening. The same applies with benching, for example. A lot of kids find it very hard to bench. Maybe when they're younger, they don't need to bench the whole thing. So maybe they just need to bench one bracha, whatever the case is. But we negotiate. When we finish the meal on Shabbos, we take a bencher, you have to bench. So that's number one. It needs to be that negotiation of what they're going to daven. It needs to be a negotiation that comes before, when there's no tension, to be outside the matzah, beforehand, well in advance. And it's not negotiable. This is what we come to. This is what we decide is going to happen. However, and this is, please listen to this, only because I'm so passionate about this, because I've seen parents do this really badly. So please don't do this. Once they're in shul, once they've given them the siddur, once you've given them the bencher to bench, don't look at what they're doing. Don't bother them. Don't say, oh, no, I see you not looking inside. Don't keep pointing in the siddur, no, as I've seen many, many parents do. It will not work. It will create tension, it will create negativity. The Kabbalah's oil is that they have to be in shul. And the biggest chinuch they can have in shul is sitting next to their father and watching their father daven rather than watch their father be mechiach them, reprimand them, and get angry with them all the time. Don't worry about it. If they're sitting in shul, they will learn to daven eventually. The ikr is that they're there and they're watching you daven. If you remind them all the time to daven, they'll only learn one thing. They learn how to remind people to daven. They don't learn how to daven. You don't need to keep reminding them. You don't need to tell them after, I saw you didn't say all the words. I could see you were sleeping in the middle. You know, when I was a little child, my father only one time, not while I was davening, interesting enough, even though he was quite a strict father. But one time he made a comment to me, I said, it's honest. I don't know how it came up. I'm not even recommending that today, but he once told me, he says that I done a little quick. He says, now I don't, he tells me, you know, I see you don't skip words, but sometimes what you do is you fall asleep and you wake up and you're at the end of davening. I'll never forget that. I'm not sure that's such a good strategy for all kids, but I'm just saying, don't sit b'shas maisa and bother them, because it won't work. If you give them a bench at the bench, don't look at what they did. I'm going to tell the story which I told many, many times, and I know that my other son over here won't mind. He doesn't mind. He knows I tell the story. But I have a number of children, but Barashim, I have two sons who were different daveners when they were younger. And the one that isn't over there, my mother, he found it difficult to daven. So we did exactly this system. I negotiated him when he has to be in shul, and it wasn't negotiable. He knew that when we give rules, it's rules. And he used to come to shul, and in the beginning he actually didn't daven, but he liked to read. So there was a shul, there was a line. Remember, there was a line, the Medrash says, you know, all Tanakh, Shmalachim, Shoiftim, all these things, right? The little Medrash says. So he, a lot of times, instead of davening, he used to read the Medrash says. And I didn't react at all. Didn't tell him yes, I didn't tell him no. Yes, he used to read. The sof was, the end of the story is, that he's a very good davener, Baruch Hashem today, he's even about tefillah. And he also knows Tanakh better than I do, because he learned all the stories in the Medrash says. Okay, so I'm not saying that's a lechatchila. I'm just saying if that's what happens, that's what happens. If they read a book, if they want, their eyes wander, if their mind wanders, they say a few words, don't get involved. The ikr is that they know it's serious, they know that they have to be in shul. Eventually they will start saying the words on their own, eventually they will start davening on their own. Once in a while, you see, it's mamash not davening a word, outside of shul, you can just be, you know, encourage them a little bit. I know it's harder, maybe just try and look inside a bit more, maybe daven a bit more. And if they do, you notice it, praise them later. We'll talk about that in a moment. But b'chololos, don't drive them crazy. It doesn't work. The Kabbalah spell, the expectation that you need is to get them to the siddur, to get them to the shul, but don't make them a sugar when they're there. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself, but it's just a very passionate nakuda, and it's a very, very important thing. The same thing with benching, same thing with all these things. Okay, that's nakuda number two. Nakuda number three. If a child doesn't listen, let's say they go away from shul before the time you said the words, they just slipped away. Or the child was supposed to be at benching at the end of the meal, and they didn't. They picked it up and they ran away, they didn't really bench, right? Don't create a scene b'shas maisa. Why? Because it doesn't work. That's the time of mulchama. It doesn't work. And that's generally, by the way, a good idea b'chalal, when children don't listen to instructions, unless it's an urgent instruction they have to do right now, it's not good to make a scene then because it doesn't work. It's a time of tension. Wait till things calm down, call them, have a talk to them, and be very strong about them. If it needs a reward, it needs a reward. If it needs a punishment, it needs a punishment. We'll talk about that soon. But deal with it later. Derech agav, I want to just mention something. The hemshech to Rabbi Twersky's session last week. He spoke about the importance of a Shabbos meal, and he brought it out very, very strongly, and he was 1,000% right. But I want to just make one nakuda, which I don't think he mentioned. I'm sure he wouldn't disagree with me, but I just want to mention and make it clear. Because sometimes when a Shabbos meal is happening, it's a very beautiful Shabbos, you expected your child, and it's a good thing to have a discussion with children before Shabbos of how much the Shabbos meal they have to sit, not the whole Shabbos meal. As they get older, they sit the whole Shabbos meal. But sometimes even the time that they were supposed to sit after the fish, they ran away. They're on the couch. They're playing a game with their sibling. Don't make a big deal. First of all, if they're still in the same room, more or less, it's gewaldig. You keep, because if you make a scene then, you ruin the Shabbos table. And then the Shabbos table gets a memory, it happens again every week, and then it becomes a negative experience. You keep singing it again, you keep sharing it with Vartayra, you keep making it a positive. They're listening, they're picking it up. Even if they went to another room, okay, so deal with it later, but don't create a negative experience, because then that's the memory that it became a negative experience. So rather just keep doing what you need to do, and just keep it positive. Later on, you deal with it, you need to deal with it. So that's an important nakuda, that if for whatever reason your plan, your negotiation, what you expected from the child in shul or on Sunday or davening, whatever the case, they didn't exactly do what you told them to do, don't deal with it now, don't get upset, don't get angry, deal with it later in a calm, proper way. Which leads us to the fourth nakuda, which is, what do we do when we discuss it later? So I want to talk a little bit about reward and punishment. Some children need it. Now, b'chalal, when we talk about reward and punishment, first of all, the best way always to go to is reward. Now, some children need to be strengthened a little bit. So I want to talk about the concept of reward, which is a general Indian in parenting, but I think it's very important to talk about in the context of davening as well, and you can use it for other things as well, but in the gear of davening as well. Because a lot of people are confused about rewards, what type of rewards, what's too much rewards, what's too little. Children need to be incentivized. Now, it's interesting that sometimes we're a bit resistant to give rewards, although we're not so resistant to give punishment or to give treichachet, to give reprimand, right? So rewards is always much, much, much more powerful. Now, first of all, what do we mean by rewards? So I'm going to share with you, I think in the Kula I might have even shared that before, but it's in the Kula that I once heard, I'm not going to go through the whole protein, but I once heard from a very, very big mechanech, an unbelievable klal when it comes to rewards. And that is like this. Rewards are very important. Not everyone does things in the Shema, particularly children. Sometimes we also do things because we're incentivized by adult type of rewards. However, when it comes to children, a reward must be big enough to push them to do it, but it must never be the whole reason why they did it. In other words, if a child davens five times nicely, and because of that he gets to go on a two-day trip, that's completely ineffective, that's not good, because it's such an unbelievable, outlandish reward, which happens today sometimes, and it's not a good thing, aside from parents, aside from organizations, it's not a good thing at all, because it becomes the whole incentive whatsoever to do it was only the reward, the kid's not interested, he has no rotzen, he has no geschmack, but he's getting such an amazing reward, so it's worth the pain to do it just to get that unbelievable reward. So it has to, this was, by the way, I heard this from Achanach, was based on a whole experiment that a university once did on research, but an interesting thing. But nevertheless, this is the Nakuda. The Nakuda is that it has to be something that it's good, it's an incentive to push them, but if they have to look back later, if they were to be asked, for example, why did you daven nicely, it would be hard for them to answer only because the reward wasn't that big enough. So it has to be recognition, it has to be praise is a good reward. First of all, praise is also a good reward, particularly with very young children, sometimes just to say a good word. You know, I saw you today on the way back from shul. You know, today you davened really gishmak. It was very nice. I saw you sitting nicely in shul. Shkoyach, it was beautiful. Some children need a bit more than that. Some very young children need a star chart. Some need a bit of a prize, maybe to work towards something, something that they want, something that they're looking for. V'chulu, v'chulu. So a reward is a very, very important thing. Rambam says that children need to do things shalei lishma, and therefore you need to give rewards. But the reward has to be small enough that it pushes them, but doesn't become the whole reason. Now, in terms of the reward b'chalal, so there's a very famous sif of the Rebbe, and I just wanted to mention it because just to clarify, many people ask this question and become a little bit confused. There's a sif of the Rebbe, but with all sifas of the Rebbe, obviously every word is emes la'amito le'gamri, but you also have to learn other sifas too. It's always a part of a whole puzzle. So there's a sif of the Rebbe, which I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it's a very, very famous sif on Parshas Vayera, where very often in those sifas, the Rebbe tells the story of the Rebbe Rashab, who cried because the Eivish didn't come to him like he came to Avraham Avinu. And the whole Nukud in the sif, and the Rebbe brings this Rambam, and the Rebbe says that since the story was Nisgale, we have an unbelievable koyach today. And that is that children are able to be given ruchni sticker rewards. Lav dafka has to be like candies and lollies, whatever you call them, that Rambam talks about, but today they're going to have ruchni sticker rewards. So that is obviously true, and when I learned that sifra when I was a very young parent, I was a very, very young parent, and I always wondered about that sifra because I was wondering how I could implement it with my own children. But at the same time, I was a teacher of high school boys, and some of those high school boys weren't so the goalie at least weren't so interested, and they resisted a lot. And I always wondered if I kind of had a very difficult class in Gemara, a particular group that were very difficult children, challenging children. And I always wondered, how do I implement the sikha? If I come to class and I say to them, you know, Chavre, if you learn really well, I'm going to take away 5 minutes of your recess, I'm going to learn an extra 5 minutes of Gemara. I just didn't see the poor mamas that they're going to dance and they're going to sing and they're going to be so excited that I'm going to take away the recess for another shtickle Gemara. I don't think it was going to work. So I realized that what the Rebbe was saying, perhaps maybe the younger the child, the better. And perhaps with very young children, it works. So I remember my own children, one of my children, remember that for a while he was hard to take negavas every day. I told him, you know, if you take negavas for a meshav zman, I'm going to buy your own arba million for sukkahs. And he was unbelievably excited. Okay, so that was his own thing, his own kairach, you might give your own kiddush, svarim, whatever the case is. But it doesn't always work 100% that way, and you just know that there are many answers of the Rebbe after that sikha. In Toshin Mem Dalet, for example, there's an answer to someone, was printed recently, that someone asked the Rebbe, what should he do because his child doesn't like to make brachas. And the Rebbe answered, Kehar Rambam lo says pras. Like the Rambam, to give a prize, that's all, give an incentive. There was a sikha in Lama Dalet where the Rebbe talked about children going on mefsoim, and the Rebbe said that children are not so lishmo, so therefore they have to go like the Rambam, they have to give extra things. There was other answers that Rebbe going to give prizes. It's obviously not, obviously the more the better the ruchni sticker prize the possible. We have to always understand that there's an asinus koyach in that sikha to when children get older to give them svarim, to give them things, to build out mitzvahs, etc., etc. But remember that the child who finds davening challenging, not necessarily that prize is going to talk to them, and there's definitely mocker to give other sorts of prizes. Obviously, it needs to be kosher, it needs to be, things will be beneficial for them, not detrimental to them, but there is a concept of giving rewards. So the next best thing, if it's really difficult, after you made that negotiation, if a good word is not working, an incentive system, a price system is definitely in order, definitely better than having to resort to the oynish. Schar is always better than oynish. Sometimes a consequence that needs to happen, take away something, but needs to be with seichel, needs to be positive, needs to be without anger, it needs to be small enough just to make the point, it needs to be not to accommodate the esher, not to build a negative relationship. One final nekuda that I wanted to make before we go to the questions is one of the ways we build up also the seriousness of davening with children is that there are Heretz for a mokum of tefillin and for svarim and for sidurim. So I'll show you a duma what I mean, and the reason why I'm saying this is because sometimes children can't be in shul the whole time. So sometimes, let's say you bring them to shul on Shabbos morning, and maybe there's a good babysitting service, maybe there's a good program, whatever the case is, and you're not even expecting them to sit in shul the whole time. But what you do need to expect from them is that if they come into shul in the middle to say something to their father or to their mother, that they can run in a shul, they can't scream in a shul, they should make a mess in a shul. I mean, just recently I saw a child kicking a ball in shul. I mean, even if it's not davening, it's not a place to kick a ball, right? Just to give them the seriousness that a mokum of tefillah is a mokum kodesh, and it's a place where you have to have derech eretz for, and to create again that seriousness of tefillah, that even a place where you daven has to be a place where you give tremendous derech eretz. And of course, again, they have to see adults doing the same way, so it gives them another seriousness of the inyan of tefillah. So at Khan, just to this, a few nukudas I want to share with you, I'm just going to now just make a sikkum. Let's just give me a second what we just said, then I'm going to go to the questions. So, again, first of all, before we start with the strategies, again, the makif of chinuch, the stuff that Matwersky spoke about last week, is really, really important. A lot of thought has to go into that, building a home, the way there's a relationship with children, where there's just positivity and warmth and varmkeit as much as possible. And I don't mean by that, by the way, that there shouldn't be discipline. There needs to be structure, but it always has to be with seichel, always has to be without coming harsh down, and always has to be in the things that matter, the thing, like I said before, to get them to the siddur, but not to drive them crazy every word. All these things have to be thought about or discussed with the mentor, the mashpia, b'chol. But with regard to davening, just let's run through these five nakudas. First of all, we need to talk about tefillah b'chol at home. There needs to be a discussion about stories of davening, the values of davening, the seriousness of tefillah, the importance of tefillah, stories of siddur, and so on and so forth. Second of all, chanoichel narapidarko, you need to negotiate with these children outside of davening issue exactly what you expect for them in terms of shul, how much time they have to be in shul, how much you expect them to daven, what is the expectation, and then review it every so often, and remember that every child is different. Don't expect from a younger child who has an older sibling who's a good davener to reach the same expectation. It doesn't work. And then, when they get there and they're in the shul for that time, you give them the siddur or the bench by benching, don't drive them crazy. Just look away and you daven, let them see you davening, whatever they do, they do. The fourth thing is never create a scene when they're not listening, if they're resisting, ignore it as much as possible with Shas Maisa and deal with it later. Dealing with it later means you have to renegotiate, you have to talk again, and maybe you have to put in a reward system. Praise is a very good thing. Again, I want to say that again on the way back from shul. Always catch them when they're doing good things. If at the corner of the eye you see they are taka davening nicely, tell them later, it was very nice. I saw you davening. You said omei nicely, and so on. If not, there has to be a schar, has to be a reward system, or perhaps even a consequence system. And finally, the concept of derech eretz for a mokum of tefillah, derech eretz for a place of davening. And that's an important thing. I just want to mention before I go to the question, one thing. When I talked about creating times for children to be in shul, the way I did it when my children were very, very young, and I've seen other people do this successfully, is to get them in the shul when there's a lot of action. For example, when there's kedusha, when there's rasa shatz, when there's taking out the Torah, because then you get them used to doing the things, and you answer omen with them, and you kush the sefer Torah with them, and you know, you answer parts of kedusha with them. That's always a good introduction to getting them into the shul in environment. So I'm going to have a look at some of the questions now, if that's okay. You can put more if you want. I'll just read them out. That's a very good technological system. Whoever did this, right? A whole bunch more. Okay. Let's start from the beginning. If the children daven in Shul Shabbos with the leader successfully, should they be obligated to restart that activity if otherwise the children are outside more? I'm not sure I really understand this question. I suppose what you're saying is about if they davened in a children's program before, do you expect them to daven again in shul? I'm sorry, let me just try to read this again. If the children's daven in shul with a leader successfully, should the shul be obligated to restart that activity? Otherwise, the children are outside more. I'm not sure what the background of the question is. I think the shul, any shul, should help. But I think really, davening is a parent responsibility, 100%. Now, I think it's good for a shul to encourage. In my shul, for example, we have a few boys. We've never made a davening program unless they were very young. We have a davening program for very young kids who come into shul, maybe just to answer on them, but they have a children's program afterwards where they, but otherwise we have a whole thing, especially Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we had a whole system with them that they had to sit next to their parents, and we rewarded them for what they do. So I think it's really, really important that children are in shul, and children, if the children are next to their parents, they have to go out and play. You can have a Tvartira session with them. You can have a quiz with them. You can have all these other activities. But davening, when they, especially when they start to get older, really should be in shul with their parents. And the shul should be mishtatef in terms of how that's facilitated and given encouragement, perhaps offer prizes or whatever the case is, raffles and so on. What to do if the child only learned from cheder to say the words and as quickly just does it on Shabbos? Okay, it's interesting. I saw recently in fact, this past Shabbos in my shul, there was I went to see the children's program. I go in once in a while to see what's happening, and they were davening, and even the leader forgot that they should davening with the davening school, and they were saying Mizmor Soida, which is not done on Shabbos. So again, I think you need to be aware of what your child is learning in cheder, and then you need to know if they can do extra. I know that when I was young, I have this memory of an extra for Shabbos. My father telling me just on Shabbos to say a few lines of Nishmas. I must be very young, because that was like a very, very early thing. Or, for example, they can daven whatever daven in shul. I would, in school, I wouldn't get to the daven a weekday Shemoneh Esrei. I think that's wrong, but whatever, if it's Shema, you have to talk to your child before. It's a discussion. Find out what your child knows. If you want to add something, if they're capable of reading themselves, then you prepare them before Shabbat. That's what you want them to do. If not, maybe just coming in for Kedusha. Maybe adding Kedusha, adding Gras Torah. But all these things I said before need to be understood before, need to be planned before. What if the child gets bored quickly? Okay, that's a very, very good question. Again, you can review things both ways. Sometimes you might have decided how long your child has to be in shul, and then you see yourself, you made a mistake. You made too much. There's nothing wrong with coming back to the child and say, you know what, I actually think it was a bit too long. Maybe for the next few weeks, a little bit shorter, and do your best. And the child could be a bit bored. Have some books around. Just, you don't have to give them the books as if you're saying, you know, definitely don't daven, but read a book. But you have them around. So if a child takes a book and reads, that's fine. Hopefully a Jewish book, of course. But still get them used to being in shul. It is a bit boring. We find it boring too sometimes. But as adults, we're not always so excited. So get them used to it. But if you think you've overdone it, then bring it back a little bit and then start. What if the child's friends, siblings don't daven with chayes? Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a question b'chal. So I think the point is like this: if we build up the seriousness of davening, and we talk to children about davening, and we make up, and even if they say things, you know, my friends don't have to stay that much at shul, you know, that's with all things. I don't know what your friends do. I just know what you need to do, right? If the shul is a serious shul, go back to what I said before. If the shul is a place where adults daven with chayes, and they know it's not negotiable that for a certain amount of time they need to be you, and you praise them for it, and if necessary, you reward them for it, it doesn't matter. They will learn from a very young age. If that's your chayes, again, you have to talk about it during the week. All the things we spoke about before are very, very important. You do your best. Obviously, it's nice to be in a shul where everyone's daven with the chayes, and maybe the shul can do something, and maybe like an incentive system, but I wouldn't worry about the fact that the other kids are not davening with the chayes. Focus on your child, build them up as much as possible. What should you say when your child isn't interested in davening on an off day at home or keeps delaying it? Right, so I think it goes back to what we said before. Before the off day comes, we have to talk about it. Not when it comes, before the off day comes. Make the expectation a little bit less. Maybe they're not davening as much as they're davening in school. Right? It needs to be not negotiable. And needs to be, sometimes the best way to do it is, if you wanted to say, again, don't forget, today in the morning when you wake up, you have to daven. Let's just go through what you have to daven. The night before we talk about this, just remember, we need to daven Baruch Shomer, Ashrei, Shema, Yishtabach, Shemoneh Esrei, whatever the case is, right? When they get up, or brachas, whatever, right? You say, you know, always nagar asa and say brachas. Okay? They take a siddur. Don't worry if they say or they don't say. They take a siddur. If they look at the words, they say the finished breakfast part. Okay, now you can have a drink. Say that. Now I want you to daven. When you finish daven, we'll have breakfast. So then, and that's all. It's not a punishment. Just when, if. In other words, when you finish davening, then we're gonna have breakfast. Then you'll have cereal. Or then we can take you out to buy something. Or then we can go for a walk. Or then you can go on your trip. Whatever the case is, right? So you need to daven. Okay. So the child will take a siddur. You see them with the siddur. Don't look too much. After they finish the siddur, no, did you daven? You finished all the things we said? Yes? Okay, right, take it for it. Trust them, and that's it. Don't stand on the head, because that's just not going to work. But what you have to do is they have to take the siddur and they have to spend some time there and they have to sort of say that they did what you discussed. Again, if you think it's a real problem, make the expectation less. As long as to just get them used to the training that you have to get up and down. Later when they get older, they'll already figure out the amount themselves. But just don't overdo it. How to inspire my inner child to daven. I assume you meant adults. Asach siddus. There's lots of amorim we should learn about davening. We should learn them every day, so often. Learn stories. We have to do this to ourselves also. As I said before, we have the same problem. You're right. We have to motivate ourselves. We have to learn stories of siddim that davened. And we also have to know the value of doing something that we don't like to do. The value of Kabbalah Sel, which is also, by the way, a good nekudah to talk to children about. Children have to know also that if they davened and they didn't like it, it's also muftu. I'll call it fear or the fear. They did something, but Kabbalah said that itself is gevaldik. Kadiskafi sitra achrei stalini kardugim b'chul almin after Friedrich brings the mamarim that mamish all the elements. There's a gilu lakus when you do something you don't want to do. So obviously you have to try and make davening ishmak. But if say our inner child or the child kipshutai is not inspired and we do it anyway, it's also good. But we should learn a lot of chassidus and God of Abrahamians, and we should take it seriously. Any preference of boys davening with father and girl with mother, or is not exclusive? I think let's go to boy and then girl. So a boy, obviously, preferences with a father as they get a bit older. I'm not talking about when they're 4 years old and still in shul and still at home and davening say brachas and doing the kindy stuff with their mother. That's 100% fine, and that's probably more effective. But as they get older, you want to introduce them to the union of shul. Obviously, eventually, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, these kind of things, you try and get them into a little bit of shul next to their father, because davening of a boy, ultimately, you want it to land up 99.9% in a shul and not somewhere else. A girl, girls are nishanach very strongly by their mother, but if it works here to take a young child, that whatever the policy of the shul is, that you can still bring it to shul, and if the child will sit next to the father and daven on a Shabbos until they're too old to be there, I don't think there's such a... I think it depends on the child, I think it depends on the environment. My son is 6 and does not like to go to shul. Should I push him to go to shul or just daven with him at home? What age should be going to shul on Shabbos? I think 6 is still very young. I certainly wouldn't push him at 6. You have to have a plan. Again, daven, talk about shul, build it up. You know, sometimes actually better to wait till they want to go. Like, I would always, you know, there's certain, just with, it's a general nekuda. You know, there's certain things. I'll give you an example. Sometimes with kids, you shouldn't do things too young anyway. I know that when I was a child, my father always had a very small telescope, and I always had to argue to get a bigger telescope. But that's okay. You know, I've had parents ask me about their 13, 14-year-olds that they don't have a gishma, they don't want to go to mikveh anymore. And I've asked them what age they start taking them to mikveh, and it turned out they start taking them very, very young. Children shouldn't go to mikveh. Very young children shouldn't go to shul. Everything has an age. 6 years old is very young. I don't think 6 years old needs to be in shul. He needs to start davening. Either the father or the mother must daven with them at home, but a little bit at least. Kishma, you know, the normal things. But you can wait another year, another 2 years. It's nishkifelach, and then start bringing it up slowly. Like, you know, when they get older, you start to say, look, it's time to go to shul. But hopefully wait till they want to sort of push you to take them to shul. Should you condition activities on davening? I.e. the child can't play or do something fun before they daven. No, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just make up when they have to be in shul. If it's at a home on an off day, it's just a good strategy. I wouldn't make it like a punishment. I would just make it, you know, tomorrow morning is going to be an off day. You're going to be at home. We're going to get up. We're going to say brachas. We're going to eat. I'm going to let you play a little bit, but then, you know, before you have breakfast, we're going to daven, and then make it conditional on some activity. But don't make it like it's a harsh thing that you can never play or never have fun before you daven. Nothing wrong with the child getting out and playing a little bit before they daven. It's fine. But eventually, you have to say, you know, at a certain point, we have to daven before we do the next thing. But I wouldn't make it conditional to all things. The local shuls are not serious shul, and the other cheder never teaches about the importance of davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov with a minyan, how do you overcome this? I'm going to have to be brutally honest. If the local shul is not serious, shul change your shul. I'm not an answer for that. A child must grow up in an environment that is serious. If the cheder teacher doesn't teach about davening, that's okay. You can do it yourself. Everyone can do it today. There's so much accessible. If you're, I don't know who's asking the question, but if your skills are not that great or you're not an information, there's so much available today in English. So many stories about mashpim. There's so many things that are available today online. There's a lot of source. Don't do it as an instruction. Do it as an informal thing. Do it when you're walking with your child on the street. Do it at a Shabbos table. Bring davening and yonim in. You could have a talk to the cheder and be asking if it's possible to bring it into the cheder. But really, it doesn't have to be done in cheder. It can be done wrong. But with regard to the shul, either try to change the shul or change shuls, one of the two. I can say these things because I'm in Australia. No one's going to, I'm not going to get in trouble with anyone over there. But that's the truth. If the child should skip brachas and start with the minyan, baruch on Shabbos, while, sorry. Oh, sorry. I must have. There's something missing from this question. I don't understand this question about skipping brachas and starting a shul. Normally a very young child doesn't have to daven the same thing the minyan is davening, as long as they're in shul, they can start with brachas. If they're much older, they're almost a mitzvah, they have to start from the beginning, and we don't skip. I'm not understanding this question, so I apologize. Why is davening called davening? What is the relevance, significance of the name? I'm not 100% sure, so I'll leave that for the more knowledgeable. I've always thought it's the Yiddish word of davening, I'm praying. What if a mitzvah bacher wants to stay home because they say they don't feel well? What is the proper response? Yeah, I think that's very, very child specific. I think you need to know the background, you need to know why. And I think this is really a private question to take offline. I think it needs background, need context. If it's a one-off thing, and if the child normally goes full of Shabbos and it's fine, and then one time you see he needs a break, I wouldn't make a big fuss. And if he says doesn't feel well, maybe he's been under the weather, even if he's been tired, so look, nishu fella. But if it comes a headache or there's a background, I think you need to talk to someone, discuss with someone, because it depends on the context. So I'm not sure it's a good idea to answer that question now. It really depends on why that is. If you tell a child to come in at Baruch Hu and leave a Kriyas HaTorah, what should they be told to say? That's a very good question. So if they come in at Baruch Hu, so again, if it's a child who can then start from, if they can daven what they daven, for example, a child come in at Baruch Hu, so they can answer Baruch Hu, for example, then they can daven brachas and say what they say in school or whatever the case is. Or if they are a bit too young to actually read, then they can just do nothing. They can sit next to you and just answer the Baruch Hu and the Kedusha, if that's where you bring them in. It all depends. But there's nothing wrong in them. Or you can say with them a little, if they're able to read things on their own, let's say they've davened already, they can read. Just tell them to read a few lines of Kel Odin or Nishmas or something Shabbos or the Shmones or whatever the case is. But it doesn't have to be what the children are davening in shul. It can be whatever it is. How about age do you induce Pirush Shamilis? Oh, that's a very, very good question. I think Pirush Shamilis is... what age? I think some of us still need it introduced, right? Pirush Shamilis is a right thing. Pirush Shamilis is a separate inyan. I mean, I think this concept of getting kids into davening is not necessarily totally on Pirush Shamilis. But I would, it depends. I think even very, very informally, it's a good idea to introduce it very early on, even as you're discussing. You know, I keep saying at a discussion at a meal or a Shabbos day, what I mean by that is as follows. Let me just clarify. Not all parents... It's a good idea for them to formally learn with their children, by the way, right? Now, I know it's very good for children and parents to learn. There's obviously bottom and all these kind of things. But actually, a lot of learning with children, it doesn't always work. It's got to be a good shidduch. Sometimes a parent can be a very good parent, but not necessarily have a good learning relation with their parent, in which case, if they wanted to learn extra, they have to find a bocher or find a melamed or find someone to learn other things extra. But what can happen always, and what's even more important, I mean, if you can learn with your child, my toy, my name, but... What can happen often, and I know that from my own children, I've done a lot of learning with them, not learning, meaning at a quiz at a Shabbos table, or with a walk, or by any meal, or by Shabbos meal b'frat. You know, sometimes just introduce something and say, you know, today I saw you done very nicely. You know, you answer Kedusha very nicely. Incidentally, do you know what Kodesh means actually, right? And talk about it. So little bit of Pirush HaMilas. Later on, Pirush HaMilas Bechlal is a formal subject. I think it's a good thing to introduce in schools. I'm not sure how much you can do at home, but again, it depends with your learning relationship with the child. But a lot of it can be done informally and bits and pieces here and there, just to introduce the idea that the words actually have meaning and it's a real conversation. And we're talking to the Eibishter, and it's actually a good thing to know, if we can, what some of this means. A good thing to know what Shema means, but after Shema Lekecha. I mean, you know, all these things are good, but it doesn't have to be in a formal way. It can be introduced as you go along, general. What general kavana should my child have in mind during davening? They don't know Pirush HaMilas. I think you leave it to them. Just when you talk about davening at home, just talk about we daven to the Eibishter, we davening to Hashem, and Hashem will answer us, and we davening whatever we need by Kasha. So just general davening. Don't worry, the children will work out themselves what they have in mind. I don't think they have to give them a curriculum of what they have in mind. They just enforce generally when you talk about davening at home, enforce that davening is, we're talking to the Eibishter, it's a real thing, and the Eibishter is listening, we are kin tzatata. Is it appropriate to sing the past davening with kids, either in shul as a whole or just myself or child? Singing is a good thing. Just one point in shul, there's a school discussion as well. Singing is a nice thing. I mean, the Rebbe encouraged, even though it wasn't always a minhag of chassidim, but the Rebbe seemed to do singing a lot. There's a famous sikha. The Rebbe talked about Shabbos Shiru, the Rebbe spoke about singing davening. The Rebbe encouraged singing in 770 a lot also. But just one thing with children singing, there is a famous problem about children learning to daven through song. They often don't pick up the words properly, so they end up not saying the words. So if you sing songs with children, you really have to actually, you really have to just make sure they're saying the words correctly. But generally, singing is a good thing. I'll just say, for example, my son, he's the chazan bas normally, so now he started bringing his son to shul, and also just to be in shul for a certain amount of time. We have a whole system, so he comes and sits next to me. So he comes a little bit in the beginning of Sukkot Zimra, and we sing our Deras Amunah in our shul. He just loves it. He wakes up at Deras Amunah. I show him in the city because he started to read. I'm not sure he's saying all the words correctly, but at least he knows he's trying to learn the words. Every time there's a nigga, and a nigga is a good thing, he gets involved, and he daven a little bit on his own. But then later he goes after Kedusha, he goes out, and there's a children's program where they daven the other bit. So yeah, songs are good. They sometimes machai a little bit, and it's a good thing. If you're davening at home, nice to sing. Also, singing seems to moir the kavana, and if it works, it works. It doesn't have to be. I just want to apologize, Meroish, and I think we'll leave it there, but I wanted to apologize. Normally, when there's questions and answers from an audience, you kind of get the feel if you're getting through, if it's making sense, if people want to ask if I answer the question correctly. So I'm sure some of the questions, maybe I didn't understand them correctly, I didn't answer them properly, but I'm happy for people to send me questions if they want. Some people, they have my email, you can get it, to my WhatsApp number. A WhatsApp number, a voice note is a really good idea because then I can answer you with a voice note, it's less time. Bevakasha, please, I have no problem if there's more questions come away. It is a very important topic, it's a topic to think about all the time. The ikur of parenting, I always say this at the end of a parenting talk, is asach tilim. We have to daven, and we have to daven to the Eibishter that we should be zeichet to be mechanach children mekfiya kavana. And that's most of the job, but of course we have to do abad as well. Keep reviewing it. Some of these things work, sometimes they don't work. You have to tweak it. You have to know exactly what could work, what should work, how to do it better. Sometimes discuss it with friends, with other people, but we should never give up. Akinalach are pure neshamas. They want to do the right thing. Some of them, the goalie, sometimes resist more than others. We have to just be sincere, try, and keep trying. And we will succeed in Mitzvah Hashem. And I want to wish everyone a good night and just have a lot of nachas. All your children, and we should only have Surah Tavis and Asamchis. And keep up the great work there.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And Mit Hashem, Oid Chazoyin Lamoyed. We can discuss some of the other sugis in davening and in chinuch with you down the road in the future. So, a big yishkep to you, Rabbi Gerari, yishkep for everyone coming out here tonight. And we should takabi matzliach in the chinuch of our children.
Amen.
Recording stopped.